A hopeful, at least, victory for people this week from the U.S. Supreme Court in striking down what's called the Clean Power Plan.
Right, the Clean Power Plan, and it was EPA's Rule 111B that was appealed because it was claimed that it would do irreparable harm to the states. And the lower district of the appellate court had ruled that although it was lots and lots of harm, it wasn't, in their opinion, irreparable harm. That's important, I think, to my constituents and everybody in Missouri because we are heavily dependent on coal. We are over 85% coal generated in our electricity, and that Clean Power Plant would substantially diminish how much power we could get from coal, which means we would have to start buying much higher priced electricity. Our cost of our sources would go up. We're not talking about just a few cents. We're talking about possibly multiples of current electricity prices to the consumer. And it was claimed that would, by 27 states, that would do irreparable harm. And Missouri was one of the states that joined that lawsuit. And the Supreme Court this week came out with their decision. They issued a stay of that Rule 111B and sent it back to the circuit court for a review. It's significant beyond just a stay because some people recognize that a stay could just mean we're postponing the inevitable. But according to an attorney who's been actively engaged in that lawsuit, the hurdle that this Supreme Court had to achieve in order to issue this stay was that, number one, they did have to acknowledge that it would do irreparable harm, and so that was their conclusion. But secondly, and possibly even more significant, in order to issue the stay, they had to also conclude it was very likely that the appellant would win the case. In other words, that it would be ruled as an unconstitutional imposition on the states. That's the part of it that is significant, I think, to those of us who are concerned about the cost of electricity. And so that's where if there is a victory here, and I believe there is, the real victory is in the court at the highest level, determining that it is very likely that if this comes back, they will determine that it is an unconstitutional federal extension of their authority over the states and how we generate electricity and what the cost of that electricity should be. So I'm pleased with that. I googled a little bit, and it's interesting that what I would call the radical environmentalist, I mean, it's good to be an environmentalist. We all should be sensitive to our environments, and certainly in Missouri, where we're so heavily invested in agriculture, we are very concerned about the environment. But those who are the climate change, I guess, element are talking like this is the end of the world, like this is the devastation of society as we know it. And I think that's particularly interesting if you look historically at all of the claims that same group, that same element, have made for about 20 years. They've predicted the end of society as we know it in case after case. They have been wrong in every case, and the side that has opposed them and said, no, you're not right, has been right in every case. And yet, we still have a large part of society that claims that those who discount how effective climate change is happening are less credible than those who claim it is happening, even though the ones who claim it is have been wrong every time, and the ones who claim it is not something that we can do anything about have been right every time. It baffles me that we end up in that situation, Dean.
What effect, if any, we've already seen spikes in electricity prices, anything generated by coal, the inability to get new coal plants online.
Right.
Does this undo any of that or pave a better way for the future, or are we stuck with what we have now?
We're pretty well stuck. It's not likely to get better than what we are now unless we get an administration that understands how costly some of these regulations are and that returns to the states and to the generators themselves more control over how quickly we clean up any kind of emissions. We're issuing in some places emissions that are probably cleaner than the air that the emissions are going into. There comes a point of diminishing returns. I think we are very close to that if we're not there until there's a breakthrough in technology. And those breakthroughs in technology have come to our rescue a number of times, and they will again. Technology will improve, and when it improves, it will become cost effective to clean up emissions even more. The problem now is that we're in that arena where the cost is virtually unlimited and the improvement is almost imperceptible. And so that's not an area you want to be in any circumstance of life, but certainly not in something that we depend upon so heavily as electricity. I don't expect, at least in the short term, to see much relief from prices. Part of that is because of the change in the industry. The industry used to be growing fast enough because of putting on new customers and customers having new demands and so on, that the growth in the industry actually funded much of the transitions that had to happen in the industry. It was growing fast enough, it could afford to, our generators could afford to pay for upgrades and pay for improvements. But now, with so much conservation going on and with the implementation of more solar and more wind energy, that growth is no longer happening. In fact, we're seeing a decrease in demand on some of these large coal power plants, and yet they still are large coal power plants, and we still have to have that base load power. You can't, at night, you can't rely on solar. When the wind's not blowing, you can't rely on wind. And so we moved from wind and solar many years ago to more artificially generated, or at least not naturally occurring generation in coal, in nuclear, in hydro, and in natural gas. And the reason is because we can run those 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, whether the wind blows or whether the sun shines. And everyone now wants power that fits that criteria. The only reason that solar and wind have actually come into play is because the cost of those have come down significantly, and there have been large government subsidies that have helped to pay for it. And as a result, some of the electricity is no longer needed from these plants. The problem is we can't get rid or size the plants down, because when there is no generation from those interruptible sources, you have to have electricity. So until we're ready to say we don't have to have the lights on 24 hours a day, we don't have to have the heat and the air conditioning 24 hours a day, we have to make sure we keep that base load up. And that base load has been less expensive than all of these other sources. It will continue to be, I believe, if we can get back into a regulatory environment that makes some sense.